welcome to episode 40 of Carlene's Anime Corner, a St. Johns County Public Library podcast. And I am here today with Zoe, my regular co-host.
Hello.
And also Miss Alex, who has been on before.
Hi.
So have you guys done anything fun or nerdy since I've seen you last?
Oh, gosh. fun and nerdy. Well, besides...
Well, actually, I think you had a job change.
I have, yes. I was the youth services librarian before, but I am now the community outreach manager, which means I get to drive around the bookmobile, so that's pretty cool.
Ooh. So you upgraded your vehicle.
Oh, yes.
And it now has air conditioning,
it
which
does.
Is even better.
We did not have air conditioning for about 3 months, so I'm living large now.
Yes.
Oof.
Okay, Zoe, and how have you been lately?
A lot has happened. I've seen the new Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse movie twice in the theaters already. I'm going to watch it for a third time this weekend.
I have not seen that. I probably won't see it until it comes out on DVD. But
please watch it.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. It is beautiful. It's art. It's art.
I have heard good things about it. I actually, my fun and nerdy hasn't happened yet, but I have sitting in my wallet tickets for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Time.
Oh no.
And I'm going to go see it in IMAX.
Oh no.
No, I'm looking forward to this.
Oh, I am looking forward to this. I've not heard good things about that movie.
Oh, well, my sister and I are going together, and she's already told me I'm going to go see Meg 2 with her, so.
Yeah.
My sister and I both have questionable taste in movies occasionally.
Yeah, it's fair, I guess.
But
the other thing I've done is I fell down the Fire Emblem Three Houses rabbit hole. So I'm losing a lot of my life to that game.
It's a good thing it's summer then.
Yeah, I mean, aside from everything else I'm supposed to be doing over the summer, I still haven't read Pride and Prejudice. I'm supposed to, but I haven't even read the first chapter yet.
We have the manga edition.
Ooh. Maybe that'll make it bearable.
Actually, Pride and Prejudice, if you're going to read one of Jane Austen's, I think is one of the better ones.
Okay, because I
read it when I was 16, so around about your age. Let's see here. Oh, so speaking of video game rabbit holes, I'm about to fall down one because I currently have installing on my PS5 Final Fantasy 16, which just arrived today.
Oh, boy.
And I figured I just dropped that disc in and came here because I figured hopefully by the time I get back, it'll be done installing because it's a 100-gig game.
Final Fantasy games have historically been very, very large.
Actually, yes, PS5 games in general, all the new ones have huge download spaces, and the PS5 only has a 500 gig storage space.
Oh, that's frustrating. Wow, so things have changed since I worked at GameStop.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I'm looking forward to trying that out, and I'll give you guys my review next time we get together.
Can't wait to hear it.
Yeah. So, moving on to today's anime movie, because it is hot in this little room and I would like to get done. We are talking about a Studio Ghibli film that I don't think very many people have watched. Were you guys, either of you, familiar with our movie today?
I've heard of it, but only in, like, it's only been mentioned in, like, top 10 lists and stuff like that.
So it actually made some top 10 lists.
It was, like, near the bottom, though.
But still
mostly
on the list.
Mostly because it didn't really have a super strict plot, like a lot of the really big ones do.
Okay.
I had never heard of it at all, and I thought I knew all of the Studio Ghibli films, to be honest.
There's still a few I haven't seen also, but this actually, weirdly enough, this movie was the second Studio Ghibli film I ever watched, the first one being Spirited Away. And then I went to the library and I said, okay, I want to find more movies by this company. And I think about all that was out at that point was My Neighbor, was the movie we're going to talk about tonight. We watched My Neighbors the Yamadas, which is directed by Isao Takahata, not Miyazaki. And it is a unique little piece of animation, shall we say. You guys... Let me start with my summary, and then we'll go ahead and do our reviews, and then we'll dive into discussing this film in detail.
Perfect.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So My Neighbor's Yamadas is literally about the Yamada family. It is short vignettes of this family, which is composed of a grandmother, mother, father, daughter, and son. And the son is teenagerish, and the daughter is around about 7 or so, so fairly young. And they're trials and tribulations of a middle-class Japanese family.
Very, very simple, but surprisingly entertaining.
Yeah, there's moments of perfect humor in this show. Also, some poignant sadness, also, which I found fascinating. Mix.
Like that one little grandma episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Oh boy,
I like grandma.
They went there.
What was your guys's rating on this, Zoe? You want to go first?
I'd give it 3.5 stars.
3.5 stars?
Mostly because the animation is gorgeous. I like the characters, but it didn't leave that strong an impression on me. It's just a cute little self-contained film.
Okay. And Miss Alex, especially since you texted me in the middle of watching this movie going, what am I watching?
Yes, I was really confused, to be honest, because I'm used to Studio Ghibli movies being these like beautiful narratives with this overarching story. And, you know, anyway.
And this is a unique little gem.
Very different. So I would give it, I'm giving it a 3. It's growing on me the more I learn about it and discuss it. But at the time when I watched it, I was just very confused.
Okay. I am going to go ahead and give this a 4-star because I weirdly kind of fell in love with it the first time I watched it, but I have not revisited it for a long time. And I mostly remembered a lot of the funny parts. And then I went back and I rewatched it and I was like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of other heart going on in here too, which I liked.
A lot that you don't understand unless you're looking at it through the vision of an adult.
Yeah, which is probably the difference between me watching it as, you know, about 18 or so to watching it now when I'm twice that age.
Yep.
So it's probably why I didn't find it as funny as I as you guys may have, to be honest, because I'm a little baby.
Let's talk about the animation style on this first, because first, as you mentioned, this is not a linear story. This is a film that came out in 1999, and it is based on a comic strip. And that is about, you know, this family, the Yamadas. The way I describe it to you is probably is that it was similar to like reading The Family Circus or something like that. Maybe a little bit more involved because Family Circus tends to be like one little panel and this is usually like a 4-panel comic or something like that.
I love the animation style though.
Yeah.
I love it. It looks so cool.
Well, the animation style of this, do you know how much of it was done by hand?
No, actually, I don't. How much?
This is 100% digital.
No.
That was the only way they were able to get that effect. So the animation style on this film is very sketchy, like incomplete pictures with watercolors that are just blurring out into the sides. And oftentimes not even any backgrounds, like you just see
people. Yeah, it looked a little, honestly, it looked unfinished to me, but it made a lot of sense that they chose that style once you told me that like, it was a comic strip.
It's very simplified.
It was supposed to look like a comic was the idea. It was just a living comic. And they couldn't achieve that with the hand-drawn animation. So there no cells for this. This was all animated onto a computer.
So crazy.
Like they drew it onto a computer. So it's not CGI, but it... Yeah. Well, there was a little bit of CGI used in it, apparently in the wedding cake scene.
I actually noticed there's like a submarine.
But it's overlaid with the hand-drawn stuff, like, so it's not like, as obvious.
Okay. Like, there's a part where they're, like, in a submarine in, like, this little montage. And I thought, like, the arms were, like, CGI, but I looked closer and it looked like they were covered over with hand-drawn. Yeah. So I'm is it CGI or not?
So it's not really CGI, but it is 100% digital. So you won't ever see any cells for sale of this show because there are none.
Interesting.
Yeah. And
but it looks gorgeous.
Isao Takahata is a fascinating artist because he is not actually an animator. Unlike Miyazaki, who has a background and actually he does animation, Isao Takahata is a director. He's the planner. He's got an artistic vision, but he's not actually an animator himself, which I did not realize until a couple years ago. So it's kind of a fascinating thing that you don't realize because you always think of anime directors also being animators, mostly, I guess, because Miyazaki is.
Yeah.
But he's not an animator. He's a director, and he's definitely...
That's interesting.
His visions are very artistic and very different.
Yeah.
Some of his Studio Ghibli films he's done was Grave of the Fireflies.
Oh!
That's right. I watched that in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie traumatized me.
Completely different from this. Like, I never would have guessed it was the same director.
He did Pom Poko, which I have not seen yet, but it's on my list to watch.
That's a weird one.
That's the weird one with all the tanukis.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that is very high on my to-watch list. And eventually, as I'm going through my Studio Ghibli retrospective, eventually we will hit that one. He also did one of my absolute favorites, which is very similar in style to this one, and it took him 14 years to create.
Oh.
Can you guys guess?
Is it the Tale of Princess...
The Tale of Princess Kaguya.
I want to watch that movie so bad.
I've heard of it.
It looks beautiful.
It is very similar to this in that it has like a watercolor look to it and that same sketchy style, but it has a lot more detail. It feels more finished than this does. But because they have that sketchy style, when he's doing like movement of her running through the forest and stuff, it exudes movement and it's
like
amazing.
It's like if you were to compare like say a calligraphy painting maybe or something to like a newspaper comic strip.
Yeah.
Okay. So that makes sense. Oh, as far as the animation style is concerned as well, I wanted to ask about this one scene where the style is completely different.
The biker scene?
Yes!
Yeah,
what happened?
I don't know. My thought is maybe because he was dealing with such a serious topic, he didn't want it to be cartoonish anymore. Because that was the only thing I could think is because this was a very serious confrontation. Yeah. They were talking about a child having died because of these people running around on their bikes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was a dangerous situation for him to go up and actually talk to these guys because you know they're street toughs and hoodlums, and so all I could figure is that maybe because of the higher level of seriousness they gave it more animation. But yeah, that was a very jarring change. It was still sketchy, but it was finished and it was more realistic. Like the dad was shown more realistically and not in his cartoon form.
And then when grandma
started berating them, they went back to their comic strip form because they were no longer scary.
That's right,
because they had lost their power.
Interesting.
Because grandma
is a...
She does not back down.
No. And like it's a for context, there's a scene where there's a biker gang going around the neighborhood and they're causing some issues and they're like trying to figure out how to deal with them for a bit. Yeah. So the dad goes out to confront them with a hard head on.
Yeah, which apparently was originally grandma was going to go out and he was like, "You can't do that." I mean, because they had just been reading a newspaper article about an elderly man who was killed by one of these biker gangs. And she's like, "Great," and hands the helmet to him. And he's like, "Uh-oh, I have to go out and
do this now." The funny thing is, grandma hands him the helmet, but not the bat she was carrying.
I know.
So
that's interesting.
What?
Yeah. I would notice that, too. It was definitely a very distinctive, suddenly tonal shift and animation shift. And I wonder if that was because of the tonal shift also.
And also do kind of a similar thing when they're showing, like, TV shows. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a scene with a baseball game and all the people are, like, they look almost rotoscoped because of how smoothly they move.
I noticed that with the baseball game that if you literally laid, like, a photograph, like, an actual filmed baseball game over those characters, all their movements were exactly what you would see in a baseball game.
So I'm pretty... So they might have rotoscoped it or something similar, or at least watched it with very, very closely.
Well, baseball is very popular in Japan, so the animators might have been really familiar with how baseball players move.
Probably, because I'm like, why is it so realistic over there? It looked really, really realistic in the way they were moving, so it kind of caught me off guard a little bit.
Those are some of the parts where I thought the animation was really creative and interesting. You mentioned earlier that you wanted to talk about the opening scene of this because there's a lot of crazy weirdness that is tied into Japanese culture that happens in the opening 10 minutes.
Yes, I was just really confused by all of the things that are like coming at you.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about the first 10 minutes?
Well, let me give a summary of what kind of happens.
Okay.
So what it is we get introduced to our main characters, which are the father and mother, whose names are, let's see if I can remember, Takashi and Matsuko, and is literally their wedding. And the voiceover you have during this entire thing is, I don't know who, but somebody giving their wedding speech type idea about how you'll have your ups and downs of life and everything like this, and how having children is wonderful because, you know, when everything else goes wrong, at least you have your kids, which I was like, this is a
generation gap.
Yeah. Well, and also just kind of... I love the fact that this part of the speech was also that the most dangerous part of a marriage and a family is when everything is going right because you drift apart, and when external things are going wrong on you guys, you pull together and you actually act as a family, which I think part of that was setting up for the show to show how when, you know, you notice when things are going well, dad's off doing his own thing, son's off doing his own thing, and they're not really a family, but then you have the biker thing show up and they pull together and they help each other out,
the mall situation
with Nonoko getting lost in the mall. First very Japanese thing that I noticed that was kind of awesome is, well, first off, this whole thing is like magical realism crazy. So just ignore like half of that.
It's pretty surrealist.
It is very. Mm-hmm. But they literally get, as they start talking about going off on your life tour, they get into a bobsled that then goes down their
wedding cake,
which is, I love that scene. But you see Matsuko cram this like paper hat looking thing on her head. That's actually a wedding headdress. That's a wedding outfit she's wearing. Traditional Japanese wedding outfit.
Okay.
That's what they were wearing, yeah.
Yeah, and she just made it look like she was putting on a helmet, but that's actually her wedding headdress. So they're dressed for their wedding in that scene.
Okay.
So it just, as I said, that was one of the things I was like, oh, that looks a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it is. That's a traditional Japanese wedding outfit.
Makes more sense.
And that's how you know they're at their wedding, and that's a wedding cake, and this is their wedding speech.
Was the cabbage scene a reference to anything?
I didn't the cabbage get that. Scene, you've never grown up with that? Okay, so they show two different ways.
I know about the peach one.
Four different ways of getting kids in here. Two of them are Japanese, and two of them are American. Guess which ones are American?
Is it the cabbage and the stork?
Yes. Have you never heard of kids being collected from the Cabbage Patch?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever heard of the Cabbage Patch Kids dolls?
Is that what they're from?
Yes. You find children in a Cabbage Patch.
What? This is the first time I've ever heard of this.
Oh, my.
Like, wait a minute.
Okay. Apparently, that is something that is not run around in generations anymore. But yes, there used to be this thing where you would find kids in a Cabbage Patch.
I thought they were called Cabbage Patch Kids because they had, like, fat faces.
No, it's because you would literally find kids in a Cabbage Patch.
Where did that come from?
I have no idea. I grew up with it. It's one of those things.
It's just a thing.
It's just a thing.
I didn't get that.
It's just a thing.
See, I got the Japanese references, but I didn't get that one.
What were the Japanese references?
The peach.
Oh.
That's Momotaro, yeah, right?
And then we also see the storks flying
in with
the babies.
Yeah, I got the storks. Yeah,
the storks
very
are
obvious.
Very traditional American, mm-hmm. because we have that in Disney's Dumbo with the stork bringing the babies.
Yep.
My favorite scene in that movie is when the storks fly in with all the baby critters.
Aww.
But so the Japanese ones, when they fished that giant peach out of the water, mm-hmm. cut it open, and naked little boy comes jumping out.
That was interesting.
That is a reference to Momotaro, which is a very famous Japanese folk tale where an old woman was praying, you know, to have a kid, and this giant peach comes down and she cuts it open and there's a boy inside.
Oh.
It is Momotaro, the peach boy, and he goes on and defeats all these onis and monsters and ogres and so on.
And he, like, makes friends with a dog, a monkey, and a pheasant and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's like really, a fairy tale.
It's a really famous story in Japan.
Okay.
Like, to the point that in Animal Crossing, you can get this little peach that when you tap on it, it opens up and this little kid comes and
oh my goodness.
So yeah.
Yeah,
it's like, called a peach box surprise or something.
It's like about on par in terms of famousness with like Little Red Riding Hood or Snow White.
Yeah,
or like
Jack the Giant Killer.
Okay.
Or Tom Thumb. Tom Thumb would probably be the closest equivalent.
Probably, yeah. But I haven't seen that much around Tom Thumb. I haven't seen Tom Thumb. I've seen Thumbelina.
Yeah.
Similar, sort of.
Sort of, yeah.
There's a lot of fairy tales out there.
Yes, there are. And then the other one is you see All of a sudden, dad is in kind of like this traditional looking garb, mm-hmm. and he gets off their little raft, goes up to a bamboo, cuts it, and there's a little girl inside. That is a reference to another fairy tale, which is the tale of Princess Kaguya, which is this woodcutter is out cutting bamboo, and he cuts open a bamboo thing, and there's a girl inside, a little baby girl, and she winds up, I think at the end of the fairy tale, turning into the moon princess or something.
Aww.
I haven't seen it in a while.
And he cuts open like another bamboo and money comes out for her keep and stuff like that. But that's, so they go ahead and show like the boy being born from the peach and the girl from the bamboo because those are two popular Japanese folk tales.
Yeah.
I think I read someplace that the tale of Princess Kaguya might be like the oldest written down fairy tale or folk tale.
Oh, neat.
Because there's actually like a illustrated scroll that has it.
Wow.
So, which I have an art book at home with pictures of and stuff.
Interesting.
Cool.
Yeah. So, we can talk more about that when we do Tale of Princess Kaguya. So, that's some of the weird things that show up. Again, and then also, of course, you know, the whole, they're on rafts on the storm of life and all this. And,
yes.
And
they're more, on a pirate ship for a minute.
Yeah, and then they're on a pirate ship. There's just a bunch of, like,
all
metaphorical
over.
Yep. all yep. over the place.
And then, all of a sudden, it just switches to
real life.
Yes, real life, these little vignettes of just regular family life. And some of them have weird titles, and some of them end with like haikus, and some of them don't.
Famous haiku by Basho.
Yeah.
So real Japanese haiku, which I found fascinating.
I've actually heard quite a few of them, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Yeah, and some of these have, like, the best, like, moments of humor. Because, mm-hmm. like, grandma's walking down the road, and the neighbor thinks that she's admiring his flowers. And it turns out she's admiring the little caterpillar that's sitting yeah. on the leaf. And she's like, don't worry, eventually you'll be as shiny and pretty as these things. And I'm just like, I love grandma.
She'll be prettier Aww. Than these gaudy things.
Yeah, prettier than these gaudy things.
And then the neighbor's just so offended.
Mm-hmm. He is, because he works so hard on his flowers.
Yeah. I think I love grandma the most.
Yeah.
In this.
I like the mom, actually.
One of my absolute favorite scenes, because it reminded me of something that has happened in our house occasionally. So this is, of course, set in 1999. Mm-hmm. Cell phones are not a huge thing. Streaming television, not a thing. And the having more than one television in your house is not always very much of a thing, because I remember that. We grew up with one TV in our house, and occasionally there were discussions over what are we watching.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that one scene where Matsuko comes in, and she's like, time for my movie. But what's his name? Takashi, the dad, is watching
A baseball game.
Mm-hmm. That's where the baseball game shows up.
Yeah.
And she grabs a remote and she tries to change the channel. And he keeps holding out the newspaper because that will actually block the sensor on yep. the TV. So yep. she can't change the channel. And they start doing like this weird dance martial arts thing around this table, trying to change the channel and blocking it from being changed.
And grandma and the grandma and the little girl are like watching.
Are watching them and going, this is the best show ever. Watching these two adults yep. do this.
Yep. And then the mom eventually gets it by mm-hmm. going under the table and stuff like that. Yeah. And the dad's yeah. like, no!
It was hilarious. Yeah, that was one of the best moments of humor, I think, in the film. That and the when the parents are playing, and you don't realize they're playing like some kind of like Mario Kart type game. And you hear mom giving directions, and dad is just like, that's not where we're supposed to go. Let's go this way. And then she's like, no, this way. And then right, right, left, and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, they all fall over, and you realize they were sitting on chairs on the floor playing a video game, because he's holding a controller with steering wheel, and she's holding a little instruction book.
And the kids behind her are like, it's our turn.
It's our turn. Let us play.
It was cute. I did enjoy those little like snippets of family life. Like one that definitely reminded me of my own family kind of was when most of the family is inside watching a TV show, and I think the dad was outside and it starts snowing and he tries to get everybody's attention and they just keep on watching TV.
Yeah.
And he ends up taking what is basically like a family photo.
Well, they're watching TV and he's outside
yep.
in the snow.
He puts yep. the camera on top of the television and sets a timer on and just stands in the background.
Mm-hmm. He's yeah. outside enjoying the snow while they're glued to the TV. So it was
yeah. yeah.
I'm like, doesn't matter that it's over 20 years later. We are still dealing with the same thing.
Same problems.
Yep.
Well, and accidentally leaving the poor Nonoko at the mall.
Oh my gosh.
And then she gets taken home by like a strange family, like a
well,
stranger.
Actually, it wound up being her aunt.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Because yeah. they said, well, she knew the lady, and they were like, But we don't know who took her. And they're like, well, how could you let her go with this person? And she might have lied and so on and so forth. She's like, well, your daughter says she knew her.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a little sorry for the shop person.
Yes.
Like, the parents left the kid. It's not the shop person's problem that they went off
no,
with
I felt
person.
So bad for that lady. Because I've had that exact moment before, actually.
Yeah, I like the life is fine. We're all going home. And then the sudden, like, we forgot somebody.
Yes.
The quietest one here is Nonoko. And then, wait, where's Nonoko? Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah. Well, and I love the fact that Nonoko's view is that she isn't lost. Her family's lost.
Yes.
Because she's where she's supposed to be.
Exactly. She knows exactly where she is. Her family got lost.
I love that logic. So, like, yes, I agree with that.
It's just so funny. She's like, she seems like such a grown-up little child.
Yeah, she does. She does. I like her.
Yes.
One of the scenes that I found kind of fascinating and I was very curious about, so I did some extra research on it, is after, I believe it's after the confrontation with the biker gang, dad has this little imagination trip where his wife, the mother, and the grandmother are kidnapped, and he turns into a superhero and goes to rescue them.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that like a Kamen Rider parody, kind of?
Actually, I looked it up. It's not Kamen Rider.
No?
It is another Japanese superhero, though, who is considered one of the oldest superheroes that's been on TV. It's called the Moonlight Mask.
Oh.
So, yeah. Apparently, he's from the 50s.
Wow.
Yeah. And he had a television show and movies that he debuted in 1958.
I thought it was Kamen Rider because the grandma mentioned Kamen Rider.
Yeah, this guy was actually pre-Kamen Rider.
Oh.
And he apparently, his original style was he had a turban-like head covering with the moon symbol on it. And he didn't get his motorbike until later and so on. But yeah, apparently Moonlight Mask is a whole like thing. And they did, in 1999, they released a parody anime of Moonlight Mask. And he had an anime series in the 1970s, which is apparently where he gained the guns and the motorbike.
Wow, okay.
So,
I mean,
but yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I actually found some clips of the 1970s anime on YouTube, and I was having fun last night watching that.
I bet. Oh my goodness.
I can't find anywhere where I can actually watch this series, which makes me kind of sad because I would love to see some of that. But yeah, so that is vintage. Actually, they're not spoofing off Moon Knight from Marvel, which was my first thought because of the moon symbol, but it's Moonlight Mask from the 50s.
That makes much more sense.
Yeah, it does.
Because I was like, this looks like something that I should recognize, but I don't. So I was like, so it's got to be a Japanese cultural thing. Mm-hmm. I spent like 20 minutes researching.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. There were just so many like Japanese cultural references that I feel like maybe that's why it did. And maybe it did do well in the US and I just wasn't aware of it. But it's not like Kiki's Delivery Service.
No, it's not. It's not something most people would know. Actually, what's really funny is I chose this movie and then I went looking to see if our library owned it because that's where I borrowed it from originally was the library.
Mm-hmm.
And we have all the other Studio Ghibli films. Yeah, this was the only Studio Ghibli film we didn't have any copies of.
Wow.
So we now have it.
Oh, great.
Yes, because Keith, our acquisitions librarian, went through and went, uh-oh, we have to make sure we own all the Studio Ghibli films. So he ordered a couple more copies of Spirited Away, and we have My Neighbor's the Yamadas.
Fantastic. So for those of you listening, you can now check it out from the public library.
At least in St. John's County, you can. Well, not quite yet. It hasn't been put out on the shelves. It just arrived yesterday.
Okay. Very soon.
So by the time you hear this, it'll be out and about for checkout.
See, the funny thing is, I actually understood this movie a lot more than I did Kiki's Delivery Service.
What?
Hot take. I couldn't really grasp the plot of Kiki's too well. It was very vague for me. I don't know why.
Deep anime confession here. I haven't seen Kiki's Delivery Service.
No.
Yeah,
we were just showing it at our local movie theater.
I know. I have seen My Neighbor's the Yamadas. I've seen Porco Rosso multiple times. I have not seen Kiki's Delivery
I've seen
Service.
Nausicaa in the Valley of the Wind.
Well, that I've seen a gazillion times,
seen
too.
Castle in the Sky.
But, like, Kiki's is one of the most famous.
I know.
World of Arrietty.
I actually have. I have a little clock thing from Kiki's Delivery Service, and I have never actually seen the anime.
I mean, I watched it, but, like, you're gonna hate me for this, but I would put it in the same category as Howl's Moving Castle in that it's a beautiful film, but I did not get the plot very well.
No, I loved Kiki's. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Did I hit a sore spot?
Yeah, because I watched it, like, when I don't know, probably when I was younger than you. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
So anyway, we are going to have to do Kiki's Delivery Service at some point.
Yes,
just
please.
So I can finally watch it. But yeah.
I wasn't super blown away by it.
I would love to be on that episode with you.
Okay.
I mean, that's got to be a given. We can all argue about this movie.
Yes, please.
Anything else we want to talk about with this movie? Any last thoughts?
It's not as thought-provoking as other shows we reviewed here. It's pretty simple, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, but like not, I don't know. For me personally, there's not too much to discuss about it.
It's kind of refreshing, though. Just being like an honest look at family life from that time.
Yeah, it is pretty realistic in how they depict a lot of things. I did get that.
Yeah.
One scene I really did like was when the son, I forget his name. Noboru, when he gets a call from a girl.
Oh, and he just goes like completely like,
and he has
his room because he's so excited.
He has a whole giddy rampage in his room, and I'm like, I've done that before, but not around the same thing. But I've done that.
Yeah,
like, very cute.
Yeah, I liked. Well, and I like Noboru and his dad trying to play catch, and his dad keeps trying to make it like more stressful than it really is. Mm-hmm. And Noboru's like, I just want to play. I don't want to imagine like the bases are full and we have all this going on. He's like, I just want to throw a ball.
And then he throws the ball and breaks the window.
Yes. And then they all ran away.
Yep. And then the cuts to the dad, and he's just throwing the ball by himself against a wall because the kid does not want to go through it again.
Yeah. Don't blame the kid.
No. It was cute.
It was. It was very cute. So
one part that did catch me off guard, though, was the grandma story.
Oh, when she starts contemplating how old she is.
And she visits a friend in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah. It had a lot of funny moments, but it had moments like that, too, where it just catches you off guard with how emotional it is.
Yeah, it was surprising.
I did. Okay, so a little Japanese detail I noticed. At the very end, when the dad is giving the wedding speech at another wedding, because I think it says like the duties of a section manager or section chief, something like that, before that. So I think it's probably for one of his employees.
Mm.
And he's giving the speech, and apparently his wife wound up with the speech and he wound up with the shopping list, and he's sitting up there and ad-libbing about how hard married life is going to be and try not to take everything personally and da-da-da-da. I kind of like that scene because it was just so, I could see that happening so much in real life possibly. But I also loved it because when you look at the table, you'll see that his wife and the grandmother that are there, they are dressed in very formal kimono, if you notice. They're black kimono, and there's white spots on the sleeves. Those are the crests. And I'm a little bit of a kimono nerd at times. And that's called a kuro tomosoto. It's a formal kimono. And if it has a crest also on the other side of the sleeve and on the back, which we couldn't see, it's called a five-crest kimono. And I actually own one. And it's a very formal, heavy black silk kimono, and traditionally worn by, like, important people at a wedding, like the mother-in-law of the bride and stuff like that. So
I wonder whose wedding it was.
Well, as I said, I think it was probably one of his employees.
Okay.
But it was definitely, they were definitely wearing very formal kimonos to this wedding, which I found fascinating that they included that detail, that they actually had them in, like, the proper kimono for that.
Yeah, that's funny for such an, you know, a very unfinished looking.
Yeah. That you could pick out little details.
Exactly.
That
they were very intentional about certain things.
So, anyway, as I said, just a fun little off note. I was like in the middle of enjoying like this crazy weird speech. I was like, oh, they're wearing the formal kimono.
How
and
cool.
I own one of those. They are beautiful kimono, very heavy. Mine's 100% silk.
Oh, wow.
And they're long, so you like pull it up and wrap it around your waist. So when I'm wearing this thing, I have so much silk around me that I'm insulated. So I went out in 50 degree weather wearing this kimono. I was like, yeah, I'm good. Where's the fan?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Not made for Florida.
No, that kimono is not made for Florida, particularly once you add the obi and everything else.
I don't think anything from Japan is made for Florida.
Nope. No. Cotton kimono, the yukata.
Oh.
Because they're designed for summer. They're lightweight cotton and very lightweight. I have a few of those.
But is it good for humid?
Yeah, hot Tokyo weather. Is incredibly humid.
Okay.
Good to know.
Tokyo during the summer is Florida.
Ah, okay.
They just tend to cool off a bit in the summer. But yeah, no, Tokyo during the summer is Florida. Just imagine hot, humid, and utterly
so
miserable.
So it's also just as terrible as it is over
yes.
here. Good to know it's a universal concept.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's why in anime during the summer, a lot of times you see the kids just kind of flop down and with all the windows open going. Mm-hmm. It's because just imagine being in Florida without air conditioning.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
God.
Okay, we know that feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My air conditioning died a few weeks ago. So for a weekend. So yeah.
Yeah. Hurricane aftermath, too, especially.
Mm-hmm. When you have no air conditioning for a week or two.
No air conditioning and it's so humid, you're basically breathing underwater.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this up. You guys had your last thoughts. Do you have any last thoughts?
I like how it would just cut to the dog, and the dog would be doing basically nothing.
Yeah, just dog things.
Just the dog. Okay. And I'm like, I thought the dog would get its own like story or something,
nope,
but
nope,
not
never did. He
realistic
just,
dog.
He's just there.
They didn't even say his name.
Nope. I think his name is Pochi. Or Pokey? Pochi? I don't know. Whatever. The dog never is actually named. He's just there. He's a part of the
family. He's just sitting around being bored.
Yeah.
Being a dog.
Miss Alex, got anything, or are we good to go?
That's it for me.
All right, I'm gonna recommend definitely that people watch this, not necessarily in one sitting. I'd say you could easily just like, oh, I feel like watching this for half an hour, and you can watch some of it until like the next title comes up, because it actually has little title pages for different segments.
Yeah, it's not very interconnected.
No, I think just enjoying it in bite-sized
pieces. And it's an hour and 40 minutes long, and I think it's a little bit long for what it is.
Yes,
I agree. It's like you're reading through one of those like Calvin and Hobbes collections.
Yeah, a little bit like that.
Yep.
So I would recommend if you're going to watch this, probably doing it like that instead of powering through it all at once.
Exactly.
Because it's good, But towards the end, you start wandering a little bit in your head because...
You start picking up the phone, open up the laptop a little bit.
Start researching Moonlight Mask.
Yes. No, I would recommend if you're watching something heavy, then just use this afterwards as like a palate cleanser.
Yeah. So you start wandering, you start Googling Shin Kamen Rider.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thank you all for joining me today. I had a great time talking about this film with you. It's one of the lesser known of the Studio Ghiblis.
Oh, yeah. It's like around the same era as, like, say, Princess Kaguya and Secret World of Arrietty, I think.
It's way earlier.
But, like, in terms of, like, people knowing about it.
People knowing about it.
In terms of people knowing about it. Because I think
Arrietty they probably know more about.
I know, but Arrietty is in that weird spot where some people adore it and other people think it's, like, boring. Kind of in the middle. It's in the middle ground.
I dislike pretty much every Borrower's adaptation, so...
Yeah, I mean, the original book wasn't even that great, to be honest.
No, to be honest, I didn't
like
the
concept, but the story was really bland.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I like the Littles better, honestly. But anyway, we're getting way off topic now. That's for when we get to Secret World of Arrietty.
Oh, yeah.
So I thank you all for joining me, and thank you out there for listening to us ramble on about this movie. And if you're interested in sharing your own thoughts and comments, we do have an email address in the show notes that you can email us at. And if you have any recommendations for future shows, feel free to recommend away. We're always sitting here going, what are we watching next? I do guarantee One Piece is coming. It is coming this year. And Zoe is giving me the glare. But we are doing it. I'm going to make her watch it.
I don't watch One Piece.
If you enjoy this show and hearing us ramble on, please share with a friend. And with that, is anything else? All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Yo.